Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. I love the Proverbs. Proverbs 15, verse 33. I want to read about three different Proverbs or so to start the message. I want to speak this morning on the step before. The step before. You will understand this simple sermon in a very short time, I think. And it's just hopefully a sermon that's going to drive home one point to the body of Christ today that's assembled here in Eden. And you'll understand it, I'm sure, and that's all I want, a very simple sermon that you'll understand and maybe, I hope, change our lives. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. I want to speak on the subject of the step before. Remember that statement, before honor is humility. Now go to chapter 18 and verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Here we see it again. Before honor is humility. There is a step before honor. The step before, and that step is humility. Turn to chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and what? Honor and life. Notice it says by humility. We see again here that before honor is humility. We've seen this now for the third time. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I want to make about 12 points, kind of go through some things very quickly. After two or three of these, some of you will understand what I'm getting at. Some of you that are slower won't catch on to the fifth or sixth point, maybe. But the message is simple, and you'll catch on to this. And it's something that I don't think we value enough. And I've been praying this week that God will help us value this subject more than we do, especially in Western culture, especially in America. I want to say to you today, number one, the step before honor is humility. The step before honor is humility. Number one, the step before honor is humility. It's a great study to take your Bible, and when you look at a particular Christian attribute, always ask yourself, what's the step before this? For instance, the step before power is holiness. Romans 1 verse 4 tells us that. The step before power is holiness. Sometimes people want to miss the first step, and they want to pray that God will give them power, but they don't want to pay the price, which is personal holiness. The step before having God's power in our lives, God's power in our witnessing, God's power in our ministering, God's power in our praying, the step before having God's power in our parenting, where we really, really powerfully affect our kids, is holiness. We have power is given to holy people. Dr. Don Green was down at camp meeting today. All five of his sons ended up preachers. His daughter married a preacher. He never had a television in his house. Sounds like he had some power to affect his kids, but he had to pay a price for that power. The step before power is holiness. The step before holiness is righteousness. Some people say, well, I want to have God's power. Well, the step before that's holiness. But what's the step before holiness? Righteousness. Righteousness unto holiness, it tells us in Romans. Righteousness unto holiness. And you got to start doing right, and 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 doing right until it becomes your discipline and your character. And having the discipline and character of always doing right is holiness. The step before holiness is righteousness. The step before peace is prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. You know, if I try to miss one step going down here, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to fall or try going up, missing one step. We got to take things in the steps God has ordered. In order to have peace in our lives, we got to start praying about everything. But anyways, those are other subjects. Let me get back to this. Number one, the step before honor is humility. I showed you that in Proverbs 15:33, Proverbs 18:12, Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. The step before honor is humility. All the word honor means is that the Lord will keep you upright. The Lord will pay attention your way. That's what the word honor means. The Lord will pay attention your way. If we were all in this room today and somebody very important came in, we would pay attention to him or her. Say, oh, look at so-and-so's in the church today. We would pay attention their way. That's honor. And God will pay attention our way, but there's a step before honor, and that's what? Humility. The step before honor is humility. Notice the opposite here, Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him what? Low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, the step before being made low is pride. A man's pride will bring him low, it'll bring him down. But it says here, God, the honor... But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So, number one, the step before honor is humility. Now, I read earlier chapter 22, verse 4. I want you to go back there because I want you to see another word we don't want to pass over. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. Let me say this number two. The step before riches is humility. The step before riches is humility. Now somebody says, wait a minute, I object right there, Pastor Cole. I know a lot of proud people who are really, really rich. No, I fear you're talking about money. And I feel sorry for you if you weigh a man's value or the value of his life by how much money he or she has. But money is the cheapest of all God's blessings. It says in Luke 16, verse 12, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? See, the true riches are not money, mammon. But he says, if you're not even faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who's going to commit to your heart the true riches? What are the true riches? The true riches are the deeper things of God. The deeper things of God. God shows humble people things that he shows nobody else. And proud people go through life blinded to these truths that they even exist. And they never get to enjoy them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deeper things of Christ. See, there's deeper things of Christ that are revealed to humble people by the Holy Spirit. If your value is of your life is only in money, then you are of all men most miserable. I feel sorry for you. You're living a very empty, shallow life if you base the true riches upon money, because money can't buy the true riches. Who can buy joy for money? Who can buy peace for money? Who can buy love for money? You can't. Therefore, joy, love, and peace are more valuable than money. They can't be purchased with money. It's in Christ. In Christ. Listen to Colossians 2 and verse 3 about Jesus Christ. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Those are the true riches. Having wisdom. You can have a little bit of money and some wisdom and get a lot farther than some rich people without any wisdom. And it's in Jesus Christ that are hid all the treasures. Boy, you like treasures? They got big famous Hollywood movies now, treasure hunting or something like that. Boy, you want to find treasure, get to know Jesus Christ and get to know him better and better and better as the days go on, and he'll show you wisdom and knowledge that one out of a million people will have never entered into their life, never will. These are the true riches. But before riches is humility. James chapter number 4, James chapter number 2, listen to this about the true riches. James chapter number 2. James is in my Bible. There it is. James 2 and verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and listen, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? See, it's the poor of this world who in this life are rich in faith. Those are the true riches. And in the next kingdom, next world, will inherit the kingdom of God. The first shall be last up there. The last shall be first. That's the humble. See, I want to say to you today, number 2, the step before riches is humility. The step before riches. If you want the true riches, you've got to be humble and say, Lord, let me be last. Let me be a servant. Let me know the deep things of God. We'll talk more about that later on another point. Notice back in our text, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, there's a third thing that humility will lead us to. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Number 3, the step before life is humility. There's nobody deader than a proud person. They're dead and they're heading for destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. The haughty spirit before a fall. There's nobody deader than somebody full of themselves. I've said this many times, a proud person can enjoy nobody but themselves. And usually there's not much there to enjoy. I'm glad that I'm not going through life just trying to get enjoyment out of myself, because Art Cole's a wretch. The more I know about God, the more I know about his word, the worse I look. I am not a source of life. That's why the Lord says, that's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That's why Paul said, I die daily. That's why Jesus said, a corn of wheat abides alone, but if it's put in the earth and it dies, then life comes out of death. It's when we learn to die to self and die to sin that we can live. The step before life, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, the step before life is humility. I think a good verse that tells us what that means, if you'll turn there, is Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 32, or write these down. I got so many points and verses. Write them down, but you get the sermon. All I care is that we get to one point today. It says in Psalm 69 and verse number 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, the humble, and your heart shall live that seek God. Who's going to live here? The humble. Those that seek God. Proud people don't seek God. They don't need God. They are God. What do I need God for? But notice what happens to the humble here. Psalm 69:32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Is your heart alive today? Ever thought of that question once in your life? Is your heart alive today? It says the humble, your heart shall live. Or is our hearts dead? Heartless people, hard-hearted people. That's what some people are. They don't know another human. There's 6.3 billion people on earth, somewhere around there. They don't know one exists besides them. how dead their hearts are. But the humble, their hearts shall live. You see, number three, before the step before life is humility. Humility. It's starting to sound like humility is a good thing, isn't it? Number four, the step before grace is humility. There's some famous verses back in the book of James and 1 Peter. They say just about the same things. I'll read them for you if you want to write them down. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Notice there's a step before getting grace. And what is it? Humility. The step before grace is humility. Now, do we need grace? Do we need grace? What is grace? Grace is God's divine power. Grace is God's divine enablement that is given to us. It is God's power, His enablement, to be what God wants you to be, to do what God wants you to do, and to go where God wants you to go. Grace. It's amazing what grace can enable someone to do. You've all seen people who have had the grace of God on them. They're going through some season of suffering or some physical infirmity or the death of a loved one or some loss of a job, loss of income, or some burden in their marriage or their family or something, and you look at them and you say, you know, and sometimes you see them for years and years and years and years and years carry that burden, and you know that if you got under that load for one day, you couldn't make it. There's people in this church that if I got under your load for one day, I couldn't make it. I don't know how you're making it. But when I ask you, you say it's because of the grace of God. But you know, some people fail of the grace of God, and what happens to them? They become, the Bible says, bitter. Well, we need grace, don't we? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, he said, "For I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." He said, I am what I am by God's grace in everything I've ever done. And the litany of the things Paul did in his life, I don't know how he accomplished it. Without TV, without printing presses, without radios, without automobiles, I don't know how he accomplished what he did. All those missionary journeys all over Asia and parts and starting churches everywhere and then going back and caring for those churches. I don't know how he did it. But he told us how he did it. He said, I had the grace of God with me. You'd drop dead today if you knew your potential for God, what you could do for God if you had God's grace on your life. We'd probably all drop dead. So there's no way I could accomplish all that. I'm just a teenager. There's no way I could accomplish that. I'm a senior citizen. But if we had the grace of God bestowed upon us, it could enable us to do things. I mean, all the people you see doing things for Christ, men and women alike, and you just stand in awe and you say, how'd they do that? Somebody was telling me yesterday about a missionary that's been over in Brazil for 62 years, and now his sons are missionaries, and now his grandchildren are becoming missionaries. And another missionary in the Philippines for 60 years, and his sons and children are becoming missionaries, and the grandchildren are becoming missionaries. And you look at what they did and what they... And this man in Brazil in his life started 23 churches. And you say, how did he do that? He looks like an average Joe. He'll tell you, by the grace of God. But I'll tell you what, these people who have God's grace on them, they're humble people. Because the step before grace is humility. He giveth grace to the humble. Sometimes people say, boy, I just can't make it through this. Maybe your pride's getting in the way. And then number five, the step before promotion is humility. The step before promotion is humility. In Psalm 75 and verses 6 through 7, it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." I didn't read far enough back in 1 Peter. I meant to. It says this in 1 Peter 5, 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times." Promotion. But before promotion comes humility. I want to encourage you, don't vaunt yourself. Don't try to promote yourself. God can do a better job of it than you. But Pastor, I've been to all of the get-rich-quick seminars of our day, and they all say you got to promote yourself. You got to come up with a dazzling resume and a dazzling portfolio, and you got to really, really impress them. Now, you'd be surprised. There is a God that rules and reigns and superintends over the affairs of our lives. And he sets up one and he takes down another. And the way to be exalted, the way to be promoted according to that God is to humble yourselves. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That ought not to be our motive anyway. Our motive ought not to be exaltation. Our motive ought to just to be humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, "God, do whatever you want with me." But you'll be amazed at how God promotes that man and how God promotes that woman. And then turn to Isaiah 57. And I want to say to you, number 7, the step before his presence is humility. The step before his presence is humility. To the contrary, while you're turning there, I'll read to you a verse out of Psalms. In Psalm 138 and verse number 6, it says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." God gets as far away from proud people as he can. The proud he knoweth afar off. But who is it who's close to God? Who is it that enjoys his presence? Number 7, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about his presence, his dwelling. Who does God like to... And I don't want to sound disrespectful here, but who does the holy God of heaven like to hang around with? Well, he tells us, Isaiah 57 and verse number 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Who does God like to hang around with? Humble people. I want to say to you, number 7, the step before his presence is humility. The proud he knoweth afar off. He doesn't have anything to do with that crowd. He resists the proud. But he says, "I'll tell you who I dwell with. I, the holy and lifted up and high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." Let me tell you who I like to dwell with. Human beings who have a humble spirit. Who have a humble spirit. Those are the ones that God says, "I like to be close to those people." Are we seeing this morning the value of humility? Why do we value pride so much in our Western culture? Why do we value pride so much in America? Be proud of yourself. Be proud of your name. Be proud of your accomplishments. Promote yourself and so on and so forth. No. The Bible says the very opposite. Be humble. Be humble that you're an American. Thank God you have the freedom to live here. Be humble that you're used of God in some capacity. Be like John the Baptist who said, "Yeah, I know I'm a preacher and I know I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but I want you to know I'm not worthy to kneel down before him and untie his shoes." We ought to be humbled by what God gives us. And we ought to be thankful, not proud. I say to you, number 8, The step before revival is humility. The step before revival, the same verse, Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says that I dwell with them that are of a contrite and humble spirit. And then notice this, to revive the spirit of the humble. Notice there's a step before revival, and that's humility. Humility. Number eight, the step before revival is humility. I revive the humble, the Lord said. Revive the heart of the contrite ones. Those who come before God with a broken spirit. That's what the word contrite means. God revives them. You see, human beings, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We need revival. He doesn't revive the proud. The proud don't even know they need reviving. You ask the proud, how are you doing? I'm fine. Couldn't be better. Yes, you could be. There's not a human being who couldn't be better. Myself included. But that's how proud people are. Well, what would I do? What did I do that for? I didn't get anything out of that sermon. What did I go to church for this morning? Boy, I sure hope so-and-so heard that. They need it. Those are proud people. Proud people are the ones that say, I don't go to church. I never get anything out of it. They're dead. Proud people are dead people. But the Lord will revive, and that word revive means bring back to life the humble, the contrite ones. See, the proud person says, I'm fine. The contrite, that word contrite means the broken person says, oh God, I need your help. Oh, God, help me. Please help me, God. He says he revives the spirit of the contrite one. That person gets off their knees revived and on fire for God again, alive in the spirit of God. See, the sermon this morning is the step before. The step before. The step before revival is humility. The step before revelation is humility. The step before revelation is humility. Number nine, Jesus spoke these words in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. He was praying and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. What does he mean by reveal them unto babes? Babes aren't proud. You've seen little 2-, 3-, 4-year-old kids. You can tell them anything, they'll believe you. Why? Because they receive with a humble spirit. They're not proud. It's when they get older and they start getting proud that you can't tell them anything anymore. And Jesus said, God hides from the wise and the prudent. He hides from proud people knowledge. But he reveals things to babes. Number nine, the step before revelation is humility. I don't get anything out of the Bible when I read it. You will if you humble yourself. You will if you just come with your mouth open like a little kid. Lord, teach me something today. You see little kids at vacation Bible school or Sunday school there. You know, that's how we ought to sit as adults in church every Sunday. That's how we ought to be with our Bibles every morning. That's how we ought to be. God reveals things to babes. The step before revelation is humility. It'll open the Bible up. I'm talking about humility this morning. It'll open the Bible up to you. Number 10, the step before gladness is humility. The step before gladness is humility. Over in Psalm 34 and verse number 2, I use this sometimes at testimony meetings. We have testimony meetings on Sunday night. And that's Macy, right back there, sweetie. We're glad to have you today. Amen. She's new. We're really glad to have Macy today. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Before gladness is humility. When somebody makes their boast in the Lord, they say, I got a testimony. I got to tell you something that God did for me. The humble shall hear and be glad. I told the men this yesterday. I was down at the camp meeting Monday, and there was three young preachers. I call them young preachers because they've only been in the ministry a few years. They're just as old as I am. But they were, I was just sitting there listening to them rejoicing in the Lord. Pastor Darling was talking about all the great things God's doing in Salamanca. He's been there just a couple of years. And Pastor Paulie was talking about the great things that God's been doing up in Wright's Corners, north of Lockport, all the great things God's been doing. Pastor Britt up in Ransomville was talking about the great things that God was doing up there in Ransomville. And he says, Pastor Cole, he says, our church, now keep in mind, like, you gotta get this picture. This church runs about 40 people. He says, our church gave $25,000 to missions in the first quarter of this year. When my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear and be glad. I'd say, you know, because I got this prayer list. And I pray for all these men. And one of the things it says on the prayer list is for the missions giving to increase. And boy, I got excited because I just heard one of my prayers being answered. He said, Pastor Cole, not only that, he says, but somebody just gave us 4 acres of land for free. Try that today. That's a miracle. And that's just proof. Give missions, and it shall be given unto you. I said, I know why God gave you that 4 acres, because you gave $25,000 to missions. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. You know what land goes for around here? About 25 grand an acre. God gave him 4 times that much back. Man, the humble shall hear and be glad. The proud will say, well, welcome that God doesn't do that for our church. Doesn't do that for me. Nothing ever happens for me. Oh, yeah, right. He's just bragging or something. No, we rejoice. Before gladness is humility. Some people are never glad at the fortunes of others because they don't have any humility. Boy, we ought to rejoice when somebody gets a new job, a new car, a promotion, or gets to lead someone to Christ, has a prayer answered, has a physical healing. Even if God never heals you physically, at least rejoice that God healed them. Oh, before gladness is humility. Number 11, before forgiveness is humility. One of the most famous verses in all the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by that my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. See, forgiveness doesn't come to proud people who say, well, Lord, if I happen to have done something wrong, forgive me. Some people pray that way. Well, Lord, I don't know if I did anything wrong, but if I did, forgive me. Forgiveness comes to the humble, contrite person who says, Lord, I have sinned, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And last of all, number 12, salvation. The step before salvation is humility. Now, I know, let me explain. I know we're not saved by works. I know we're not saved by works, but I believe God, by the Holy Spirit, works humility and conviction and sorrow for sin, and repentance, and faith towards Jesus Christ in a person at the moment of their salvation. Jesus talked about humility and salvation in the same breath when he said in Matthew 18 and verses 3 and 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. And then later on, he would say that we ought not to despise these little ones, and that we ought to humble ourselves like these little children, and that we cannot be converted. We cannot be converted unless we humble ourselves. Verse 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We see, I think the close proximity of that. A proud person says, I'm not that bad. And I don't think they understand with their heart so they can be converted. I think in order to be saved, you got to come to the point in your life where you say, I am that bad. I'm a lost sinner, undone. I can't do a thing to save myself. If I tried from this day forward to be perfect, I still couldn't save myself. And there is an element of humility that is wrought in us by the Holy Spirit at salvation. Are you humble today? Will you come to God and say, you know, that one guy wouldn't humble himself, and he just stood before God one time in the temple, and he said, Dear God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, sinners, and I'm not like this guy over here. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he went on to brag about all the things he did in his pride and how God ought to be proud, how God ought to be just thrilled that that guy was so good. But the other guy, the Bible says, and Luke wouldn't even so much as lift up his eyes. In Luke 18, you can read the story, but he beat on his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says he went to his house justified, the humble, not the proud. Not the proud. Help me out here when I close. Fill in the blanks. The step before honor is? The step before riches is? The step before life is? The step before grace is? The step before promotion is? The step before prayer is? We're running out of steam here. The step before his presence is? The step before revival is? The step before revelation is? The step before gladness is? The step before forgiveness is? The step before salvation is? Why are we so proud? Why are we so proud? I wrote a tract that's out there in the front. You can pick one up. It's called Pride is No Virtue. It's a sin. It talks about the 12 destructive products of being proud. Why are we proud? And I'm just saying this in general. Why do we hold on to our pride? I got my rights. He offended me. How dare they say that about me? Or who is he to ask me to clean toilets in the church? And so on. Why are we that way? Why do we have contentions in marriage, contentions in family, contentions between church members? Why? It's all brought by pride. When all these things humility can give us. My goal today was to preach a sermon where we would leave and see the value of humility. The value of humility. Do you see the value of humility today? Can you pursue it? It's not something we wait around for God to do. Uh-oh, you don't want to let God do it. Boy, he's too severe, man. You want to do it yourself. The Bible says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Just say, Lord, nothing. Here I am. If there's any way you can use me, I present myself to you. And then all these good things start coming into your life because of humility. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our meeting this morning. We pray that you bless now, Lord, this time of singing and contemplation, meditation. Lord, I know this sermon was for me. I hate my pride, Lord. Whenever I think I'm over it, it flares up in some other ugly form. I think pride is the ugliest sin in the human race. Lord, pride starts wars, and pride splits up marriages, and pride splits up families and businesses and churches and schools and communities and countries. Pride is so evil, it's so ugly. But all the blessings that come to the humble. And Lord, I'm sure my list wasn't complete. But Lord, I've tried to give your people 12 blessings that come from being humble. Lord, help us to ever pursue it and to apply it now to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.